So, do you know what songs?
No, not yet. I've got a bit of a list on the fridge that I keep adding to.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to, three of us are going to have to get together and start arranging over January to get the 10 shows sorted. I'm thinking of having a bit of a theme for each one. So maybe one will be Australian, one will be the Beatles, one will be, I don't know, dead legends. Anyone who's dead. Somebody's song who's dead.
Yeah.
That's as far as I've got.
Yeah.
Madly trying to do the publicity though, so that's fun. Learn to use Photoshop for the first time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good too.
A new skill.
It's a good skill.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun.
And that's coming up in the Fringe?
2021. Yeah.
Well, keep our fingers crossed that it will.
Yes. And we've just had word, we were at half, 50% capacity. We've just learned that we can up it to 75% capacity. So I'm very excited about that because it means we actually might earn even more money.
So how do you determine capacity?
So the venue we have is called the Open Air Theatre and it's got tables and chairs cabaret style and they're allowed to have 64 people in that space in normal circumstances. So when we applied for the grant, I could only base it on 50% capacity, which was 32 people, which is not a lot for... Because when you're in a group singing situation, you need the energy of a number of people, as you well know. But now I guess it's up to, you know, three quarters of 62, whatever. And, you know, who knows, by February, late February, maybe things will have lifted again. But, I mean, you never get full houses, although already we're getting lots of attention. So I think people are just really excited to get out and do things in the Fringe. And this is one of the fewer... participatory events, so it's not just sitting and watching, you're actually part of the act, singing and having
fun. Which is really good.
It is, and I think people have been missing that because I get a lot of chat on the pub sing page on Facebook saying, when are we going to start again, we miss it. So people are very excited.
So you've got a Facebook page?
We do have a Facebook page called pub sing.
Should encourage people to look that up.
Definitely.
And come along.
Yeah, it'll be a hoot. And we'll be outdoors under the about 6 p.m. Most of our shows are around 6 p.m. So day of work, come and sing, have a drink.
So you do a lot, don't you? You're a singer, a dancer, actor.
Mm-hmm. Theatre, mostly theatre, but getting into film the last 5 years, which has been a beautiful addition to my dramatic experience. And scary as all hell to start with, but now I'm much more at ease with it and really love it.
Yeah.
It's really, really good process.
So it must have been really hard those few weeks when everything disappeared.
It was unlike anything I've really experienced before. It was...
apocalyptic?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was that real sense of things being just taken away and out of my control. And there's a little side of me that's a bit of a control freak. Do you know what's really interesting though? As I said, after 2 or 3 weeks, I settled and I actually enjoyed myself and I realised it was almost like a sabbatical for me because I work at such a high intensity usually and I've got several projects going that I was able to breathe. And a lot of people said to me, aren't you going nuts? I said, what do you mean? They said, well, you're a performer. You're an extrovert. You're this, you're that, you're that. Aren't you finding it hard to just stay at home all the time? And I went, no. I'm actually an introvert. Underneath all that, I'm an introvert. I've just learned to manage it really well and I've got skills that I can... I love performing. I don't hate it at all. I love it. But I'm performing. That's not really me. I'm more than happy to sit in a corner with my feet up and read a book or listen to music or paint or do the garden. So being on my own for that amount of time, I wasn't on my own. I had my husband and my daughter and her husband there, but not full time. It was a gift. So conversely, a lot of my friends with high anxiety, I thought they could just take a breath and relax. But they had all their regular activities stolen from them. So all their coffee catch-ups, all their little exercise class, the things that gave structure to their week disappeared, and they're the ones that I saw really fall apart.
Mm.
I said to my husband one night, if I was charging psychologist rates for the amount of phone counselling I've done over the past 6 weeks, I'd be raking it in. I was amazed how much people relied on that kind of regular contact. It doesn't worry me that much. I mean, because I'm so busy, any time away from people is really lovely. But
it's affected us all quite differently, hasn't it?
It really has. Mm. It was a real revelation to me. It's made me think really differently about mental health and what's important to me. And I don't want to go back to working at that pace again. I really don't. I like it a bit slower.
Mm. Yeah, I did an interview with a woman who came over to Adelaide for the Fringe this year from Melbourne, and then she got back and
everything went to hell.
Mm. Yeah, and by the end of the second lockdown that they had, her mental health was had deteriorated so much, because she's such an active, she's a dancer as well, but an acrobat as well.
Oh, wow.
And her being in lockdown was like being in jail.
Yep, and I know a few other friends like that.
Yeah.
In Melbourne especially.
Yep.
And again, that I have a pretty big house and garden, so I didn't feel that claustrophobia, but I know other people in small apartments. And
absolutely.
Really felt for them.
Did you want to add anything else?
Just a tumultuous year, and not just because of COVID. You know, all of the stuff you and I have talked about so often, about the shitty government and bad decisions and so many other things going on around climate and environment that are just insensitive and drive me completely nuts. So staying away from social media was a necessary thing at one point.
Yeah,
to control the rage.
Because the rage is huge, isn't it?
And not just the rage, the fear. Mm-hmm. The rage, the fear, the anxiousness about our future and that of our young people.
And for our young people. For their future.
Yeah.
It's just so hard.
Even 25 years ago, so my daughter's 23, 25 years ago I was saying, I don't think I want to have children. I'm scared. I'm really scared about having children. What are we going to leave them?
Mm.
But of course, you know, ended up wanting to have a baby indeed. Fortunately, everything worked out really well. And she's an amazing human being, but now it's even worse. Mm. I don't even know how they, you know. I know a lot of young people who are going on it, not having kids.
There's a whole group of them. There's a whole Facebook page of people who say that they're not having kids because they're not going to bring any more people into the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Into a world that is so fragile. Uncertain in the future. Mm. That's a terrible note to leave it on.
It's a really sad note to leave it on. But that's okay.
Okay.
It's our reality. Well, I'm doing okay.
It is a reality.
You're doing okay.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
And we're some of the lucky ones.
Yeah.
But it doesn't negate that fear.
No, that's always there.
Mm.
Thank you so much.
That was my pleasure. Thank you.